Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. It is so nice out, minus the snake.
Dude, snakes. I don't do snakes.
You do a lot of things, but snakes is not one of them.
Just like takes me right back to my childhood where I'm like walking through the pastures and I'm like, snake.
You're a farm girl. I would have thought black snakes wouldn't have freaked you out. This thing was a monster, though.
Yeah, like, he was pretty big.
Monster. That's not really what we're talking about today, though.
No.
It was just an interesting start to the day.
Yeah.
We had to kind of sidestep it to get into the studio so that we didn't.
But we're talking about something that I think some women are scared of. So
there you go.
Yeah. Like snakes.
Menopause. We're equating menopause with
snakes.
Snakes. How many women do we talk to that say things like, I don't feel like myself. Something has to change. I feel like I'm going crazy. I just don't feel good.
Yeah.
I'm stressed.
Or I'm putting on a lot of weight and I can't figure out what to do.
Yeah. How many of those women do you think, I hear a lot of times that they attribute it to treatment versus like them attributing it to menopause because they've been through so much with treatment that that's where they go to immediately.
Well, I just don't think also society talks about the impacts of menopause like they should. So it feels like, oh, menopause.
Like and, no big deal.
No big deal. And then if you're there early or whatever, you just, things catch you by surprise.
But you know, there's a whole another segment of that. Not only are the women not loving menopause, but the men in their lives are also not loving their menopause. I mean, let's not forget about the men. They got to deal with us too, right?
Yeah. So today our guest is Jen Schroer. She's an RN and NCBC, who is a board certified nurse coach and the founder of Clarity Health and Wellness Coaching. After facing burnout and hormonal shifts in her 40s, Jen transformed her health by diving into stress management, functional medicine, and a habit change. What could have been a midlife crisis became a season of midlife clarity. Now she helps other women do the same by combining clinical expertise with holistic coaching. Jen empowers her clients to reconnect with their bodies, release perfectionism, and create lasting lifestyle changes that support energy, balance, and well-being.
Heck yeah, we all want that.
Yeah, no kidding.
So today on the podcast, we're going to be diving into Jen's personal journey through menopause and how it led to this midlife clarity.
And then the common and most often overlooked symptoms women experience during menopause.
And finally, what Jen believes is the key to thriving after the change and how she supports other women in doing the same.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp. All right. Well, welcome, Jen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Super excited.
Yeah. I want to talk about, you know, lived experience is often how we try to kind of change the world. So share your own menopause journey and how you kind of went from exhaustion to thriving, because I think a lot of people are going to want to hear that.
So I think it really started back when I was probably in my late 30s and I had to get off birth control for, you know, I'd been on it for like 17 years or something, 20 years, something crazy like that. And I started really kind of noticing that, you know, I was in my late 30s, and I didn't even really know what was going on in my body. So I started to learn just the cycle in general. And then in the matter of learning that, I started going through perimenopause. And I'm still in perimenopause. I'm 49. You know, that's pretty normal that, you know, you don't go quite hit menopause until in your 50s, but just started slowly but surely noticing more and more and more symptoms. And I had to change so many things that I was doing that even that were healthy habits. So how I was working out, I was getting up in the morning, going to the gym, fasting. That's how what I thought was the right way to do it. I learned, well, not for women. You know, it's not how we're supposed to eat or not how we're supposed to work out. So it was just a lot of learning how I was feeling, what I could do to change that. And it was a lot of lifestyle management changes. And again, some of the things I was doing were already healthy. It's just I had to tweak them to fit the body I had now and the hormones that I had now, because as your hormones change, you have to change with it.
I think that is a really good point too, because I mean, I even remember when I was after treatment and I was trying to figure out why I was putting on pounds, and I'm like, I'm doing all the things that I've done in the past to lose weight, and I'm exercising more, and I'm doing this, and it was like going the opposite direction. So I think, and I've heard that from other people, is I'm doing all the things and it's not working.
Yeah. And you know, I hear that constantly, and it's so true. I mean, like we said, when your body changes, you can't expect all those things that worked in our 20s and early 30s to work now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the common and then less commonly known symptoms of menopause. Like we kind of know the weight gain, people will report like anxiety or feeling lethargic. What are your thoughts? Like what kind of menopause symptoms are out there? We had a woman in our program that was experiencing all kinds of crazy symptoms. She went to like 8 different specialists. And at the end, guess what it was?
It was menopause.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So like, what should women be looking for? You know, because it's when we're in treatment and they put us on hormone blockers, it's like we're in pretty immediate menopause. But right. We kind of chalk it up as like almost like a side effect of the drug. Right. So hot flashes and things of that nature. But when you're in quote unquote natural menopause or you're done taking your treatment and you're in menopause, like what kind of symptoms can come up?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a question of how many symptoms are there, right? You see things anywhere from 34 all the way up to 103. So let's be honest, right? Like everything that we experience can't be just menopause or perimenopause, but a lot of it is. And unfortunately, like you say, people are seeing many, many doctors just to find out that's what it is. I think in some respects, that's important. So in the respects of I'm having heart palpitations, it's a very common thing. Some people liken it to anxiety, but other people are just like, I can't breathe. I get headaches. And it's very like, it causes them not to be able to do a lot of things. Well, you should certainly go have your heart checked to make sure that that's nothing, right? Before you say, just chalk it up to menopause and then figure out what can I do according to that. You know, our typical are hot flashes, like you said, weight gain, fatigue. Those are common. I would say fatigue is the most common even, but it's also the most common across the board for doctor's visits. Sleep is a super, super common one that people don't always recognize as being perimenopause or menopause. It really affects our sleep. That 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake, can't fall back asleep, just absolutely wired. And there's so many things you can do, you know, before, after, during your sleep time to modify that, to get a little bit better sleep. You know, some of the really interesting ones that you hear about, itchy ears, itchy skin in general.
Yeah, Sarah and I were talking about not that long ago. She goes, my fingertips like itch, and it's so random. And I go, you know what? I had that too, and I'm pretty sure it's perimenopause. Like, I think it's a menopausal symptom. And I said, how bizarre is it? Because you scratch it and it still doesn't like alleviate the itch.
Yeah, it's like exactly.
It's like just a really weird symptom.
It is. Mine always ends up being like right on my heel in the middle of the night, of course. I'm like, seriously, how can that same spot itch all the time? What is the deal? But yeah, I mean, you just get your collagen and your elastin and, you know, your hydration. All of these are affected by the loss of estrogen, the loss of progesterone. I don't think progesterone gets as much play as it should, because that's a huge piece of why so many people experience anxiety. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so many different symptoms. The weight gain, I will say again, is another thing where, yes, a lot of times it is the menopause, but make sure you're getting your thyroid checked. Make sure you're doing all the things to make sure that, you know, it's not something else. I had a woman that I talked to was having such bad brain fog and loss. I mean, you literally can lose words that you're using every day. You know, if you have a job where you actually have to be able to talk all day long, it makes it very difficult. And so she actually went and ended up with an MRI and a full neuro assessment, just, but it also made her feel better. Okay, I know that it's not neurological. So now I'm going to approach what it is for the menopause. So it really, I think when it comes to figuring out what it is, you know, it's treating it, I put that in air quotes, with lifestyle management, making sure that it's nothing serious, and then going to, and then obviously you can always decide whether you want to do hormone therapy. It all depends on your spectrum and how you feel, what you feel comfortable with, and what you're allowed to do, right?
So one thing I want to address to you is, can you explain sort of briefly and like high level, what is happening with your hormones as you move through perimenopause and into menopause?
Yeah. So when it comes to your hormones, I always like to start explaining it from, you know, when you're in your 20s, I mean, even when you're in your teens, you're cycling, right? You're cycling normally. And again, air quotes around normally, because everybody has their own normal. What's happening at that time is that you are having basically from menstruation, all the from day one to day, whatever it is, 28, 26, you have this nice little like bell curve flow of hormones. Your estrogen starts to come up. It goes to a peak around ovulation. It starts to come back down, and then it kind of flatlines when you go to menstruate again. Same thing with progesterone, just a little bit different of that bell curve. You know, it's not a perfect bell curve. It goes up and down, and you have that progesterone peak over in your luteal phase or your last probably week to week and a half before your period. And then it comes down if you don't get pregnant. So what's happening throughout that is that you're having this nice balance of the two hormones, right? They're balancing each other out. So yes, you still have ups and downs, but they flow in this cycle. So they're pretty predictable. If you track your cycle, you can kind of tell, you can feel it as those hormones are changing. If you're really good and in tune with your body and tracking those types of things. Well, what happens in perimenopause is that you're starting to lose your egg supply and your body is saying, okay, it's time for me to get some estrogen. And your brain is sending messages down to your ovaries to make that estrogen. And the ovaries are like, yep, nope, don't have enough to make right now. I'm not going to do it or what have you. And so it's like, hey, you know, just keeps yelling at it basically like make more. And sometimes it's like, boom, it makes some, and other times it dumps out. So you have more of this like up, down, rather than this beautiful flow and cycle. So this is where you're getting more of an effect where you start to have this some days high estrogen, some days low estrogen. Sometimes it flows perfectly fine. You have a totally normal cycle. And then your progesterone, as it's dropping, it kind of drops a little bit earlier than estrogen. Actually, it's just not quite as big of an effect that you feel. And so what happens is over the course of anywhere between, I'd say average, you're talking 8 to 10 years. Some people go 15, some people go 5 to 6. Then you have what you could almost call a flat line. You have a little bit of estrogen left. You have a little tiny bit of progesterone, but it's basically just coast after menopause. So after your 365 days of no period, that's your day of menopause. And we can talk about, you know, even if you don't have periods, what have you, but just the 80-20 rule there of that 365, that's your menopausal day. After that, you're postmenopause. And then what happens there is you just kind of stay at this flat line for good. Your body starts to get used to it. Your testosterone actually does end up peaking back up around 65-ish. And your body just kind of gets used to having the lower hormones and takes a couple of years. And then you kind of just your body gets used to it, essentially.
So when you say it gets used to it, do you get your brain capacity back? Like, does the brain fog lift? Does the anxiety subside? Like, once everything calms down, do you get some relief from those symptoms? Or is it like you just learn to live with those symptoms?
Yeah, I think that some people do see relief, right? Where they feel completely better. Some people say they still have hot flashes the rest of their life, but they're not as bad. Usually you see a tick up of your brain function starts to function a little bit better. The fog starts to lift. You actually get some of that resiliency back, which is really tough when you're losing that during perimenopause and you're like, you know, in your 40s and dealing with kids that are leaving and parents that are sick and all this, and you have no resiliency. So that starts to come back. Your happiness actually comes back. They call it a U curve, where your happiness kind of flows from, you know, your 20s and 30s. You're great. 40s and 50s, a little bit down, and then you come back up. So yeah, I think that's
an interesting point, because we're always talking at Faith Through Fire about the emotional aspects, the mental health mm-hmm. of women. And I think menopause, that's the thing. People just aren't feeling happy. Mm-hmm. And yes. we do tend to see that in the 40s and the 50s, which, you know, for a long time is like, oh, you're in the prime of your life. I'm like, no, the prime of my life was my 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
Like right. that's when ignorance.
And then I'll come back around yeah. Yeah. mid, late 50s.
And you're absolutely right. Like all those other stressors, right? You're in menopause. I still have a 15, a 12 and a 10-year-old at home. So it's not like they're 20 going off to college. It's mm-hmm. like I'm trying to parent them with perimenopausal right. symptoms. You know, it's like yeah. we have parents that are starting to decline. You're exactly right. And so I think people think, what's wrong with me? Because not only am I now experiencing all these symptoms that are affecting my quality of life, mm-hmm. but then on top of it, I'm not handling it well. I don't feel happy. Mm-hmm. I feel depressed. I feel like life is kind of flat. And I think that there's some comfort in knowing that this is a natural biological process and mm-hmm. that it will eventually kind of, you know, level out. But yep. you said it, 40s and 50s. I mean, that's 20 yeah. years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Are we destined for yeah. 20 years of grief?
How long do they typically say like the perimenopausal period is, like on average?
So it depends on race, kind of about 8-ish years. Some do 6 or 7, which is, it would be lucky, right? Mm-hmm. But 10 years is about average. And it depends on race. It depends on, you know, some people don't have any. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just everyone experiences it so different that I think it's tough to know. Plus, obviously, you know, women haven't been studied very well and they didn't know that that was perimenopause. So I don't know that we have a lot of a good enough data to really give a good, like, I think we have some data, but not enough. And I think we're going to be getting so much more now that people are starting to recognize that, oh, these are perimenopausal symptoms. These are the things that I might be experiencing. So we might get a little bit better of a determination. But I mean, like I said, I was 38 when I started kind of learning about it. And I was already probably experiencing things like a frozen shoulder and hip pain and that type of stuff. And it was super, super like light at that time. It's nothing that was really getting in my way. But that now, you know, like as you get older, you might start to notice that it's okay. Now I think I might want to do hormones because it's affecting my life, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about how everyone measures it a little bit differently.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, a lot of women after they get done with treatment, they never get a period again. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that wasn't me and it wasn't. I got my period back and I got 9 years before of not being in menopause, which I was like, woohoo, estrogen, yeah. I love you. Thank you for coming back. But right? now that I'm 45, this is the first year where I'm seeing these symptoms start to kind of come up. And for the first time in my life, my cycle's not 100% reliable. So like,
yep.
you know, I'll go 2 or 3 months with a period like clockwork, and then I'll skip a month. And then I'll go yep. 3 or 4 more months, and then I'll skip a month. And according to my Fitbit, it's saying that my cycle is like 40 days long, which I'm like, I don't even understand what that means. But I have, and I think that's why it's so confusing to women. Like mm-hmm. you said, you yes. got to get to know your body, and you got to know. The other thing, and I'm using myself as a case example, just because it's like, you really do have to figure out what works for you. I realized that even though I absolutely adore coffee to a point that's unnatural, it's like I drink too much of it. I don't know how to limit myself to one cup. And so it's like literally a pot, you know, a pot a day or whatever. But when I cut it out, which right now I have, it's like so many of my menopausal symptoms subside. And it's yep. like, and when I rely on natural energy instead of the artificial energy, I just feel my cortisol go down. I have more natural energy. My skin looks better. I drink more water. And so how much of this is just like trial and error, and how much of it, I mean, I guess that's why you're in business, right? Because women need guidance.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is trial and error. Absolutely. Because what works for you isn't going to work for me. But yes, I think that what you're talking about is what most women, I recommend all women do, is you need to track. You need to really find those trends, because when you figure out those trends, like we were talking before, just knowing that it has a cause is helpful, but then knowing that you can control the cause and maybe not get rid of it completely. You might still wake up at, you know, 3 o'clock, but you can fall asleep. You're not awake for hours. Or like you say, your energy, you may need a little tiny bit of caffeine early, but you don't need it all day long. It's really finding those tweaks, because blood sugar stabilization is huge. The hydration is huge. What's happening in our body is our adrenals are trying to take over as we're not making enough estrogen. And so now they're getting stressed. And when we start tacking on, you know, we're eating sugar because we don't feel good. And we're like, oh, we just need comfort food, or we're drinking caffeine all day long because we're so tired. And I get that. It totally makes sense. I mean, we all deal with a lot and try to get ourselves through the day, but it's finding other things, like maybe a B12 in the afternoon will make me feel better. Maybe going for a walk at lunch or after lunch so that I don't have such a high blood sugar spike. Finding those little tweaks in your day can make a huge difference.
Yeah. And yeah. I like that you said little tweaks. And I want to kind of touch on that. Like, how do we make this manageable? But before we do that, you guys want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. This one is pertinent because of our snake experience this morning. Red-tailed boa rescued from Texas tree and adopted by animal control officer.
There is just a special place for people who like snakes.
I know. It is a special kind of person.
It is.
I'm not going to say they're different, but they're different.
No, they are.
It's like IT professionals. They're just different.
They're just different.
A 5-foot boa constrictor rescued from a tree limb in Texas has a new permanent home with the animal control officer who captured her. I mean, I'm just like thinking, you must really love animals to be in animal control, first of all. And then secondly, to see a 5-foot boa and be like, you're coming
needs
with
to come
me.
On with
you're
me.
Coming with me, buddy.
It's just something about his face.
Yes. This officer brought the snake back down to earth, holding it gently. He said the friendly snake, a red-tailed boa constrictor, was likely a former pet. She was worried that somebody dumped her, but they are known for getting out of their aquariums, which, bleh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Okay, see, I was thinking this is a terrible idea because this is a wild snake. I didn't know that this was likely a former pet. That changes the story.
You think it's domesticated?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how a snake can be domesticated, exactly. But I would think a always been in a cage snake would act very different than a snake that was always in the wild and then you put it in a cage. Like, that's, I wouldn't want to sleep even in the same house as a snake like that.
So you think from the day of birth,
feels like they have revenge.
Maybe like this is like a day of, like the day the snake was born, he was in captivity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I see how he might be a little more docile. I don't know. Like, aren't boa constrictors ones though that like they constrict, like if they get around you
in the name.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
5 feet. I mean, that can wrap around your waist and squeeze the living life out of you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes on to say that she needed a good home, and I felt like me and my son and my wife could give her one. Okay, it was a guy. Her name is Ruby the Red Tail. Well, I mean, good for you.
Good for you.
I don't know that there's a, you know.
I think you're a boob because it's a snake, but.
It's so gross, too. I was watching some show on TV the other day. Oh, it was like that Millionaire Realtor show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Silver Fox. He's got the gray hair. Yeah. You know which one I'm talking about? I don't know his name. I don't follow him or anything. But one of his clients gave him a snake. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you have to feed them the mice. So he gets frozen mice. But then I don't know if this was just strictly for TV viewership, like to increase the ratings. He microwaved the mouse before giving it to the snake. And then it made the kitchen smell.
Gross.
Isn't that gross? That's the thing about snakes. If you get a snake, you have to feed them live creatures.
I could not put a mouse in my microwave and then be like, yeah, I'm going to heat up my lunch in there too.
Gross. Like, it's so gross. It had to have been for ratings. There's your boobs.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Okay, so we're back. Let's talk about, I like how you said little tweaks.
I think because sometimes people think they're like, I can't overhaul my life. It's too much.
And they won't stick to it. It's not sustainable. Yeah. Like every time I try to make a huge change, I don't stick to it. And then I feel bad. And then I abandon everything. And it's like, you know, I mean, I know I'm not alone in that. I'm not as disciplined as Sarah is. So what do you see this looking like? What do you think is the key to thriving? If there was one piece of advice you could give a premenopausal woman, what would you, or a menopausal woman, like what would you say to them?
Probably that it's about effectiveness, not perfection. Right. So what you need to do is figure out what works for you and do that as your 80-20. Do it as much as you can. On the days that you just don't have it, give yourself the grace and just don't have it. You know it's going to affect things. You know that maybe you're not going to feel as great because of it. But some days you just need to lay on the couch or put your feet up the wall or have, I don't know, a Starbucks, whatever, you know, like some days you're just going to have to go, okay, my standard is this, is X, no caffeine after 10 a.m. But today I don't have it. And vitamin B is just not going to do it, you know, or what have you. So really it's give yourself the grace, get the knowledge, start to track, figure out what works for you. And then understand that you're never going to, I mean, perfection is not in us. Like it just, it breeds bad things. It breeds negativity in our body, which is not going to help us at all. Right. So if we can just give ourselves a little bit of a break and understand that we can't control this completely, but we can help it.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. And perfection, you're right. It does almost more harm than it does good sometimes. So talk about how do you typically work with people? So because I know that, like, even for myself, sometimes when you need something, it can feel very overwhelming and you don't know what to do first. So talk about what, like, kind of how you work with people.
Yeah, sure. So I start out with just a 30-minute call and chat with the person, see what's going on, see what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, really what their goal is. And then, you know, some of it is resourcing. If I'm not the right fit for them, I will certainly send them to the resource that they need. So if, you know, you need an actual nutritionist because you have SIBO or, you know, some kind of a GI issue and you can't eat XYZ and what have you. So some of it is finding the right resources through it. But typically what I find is that we're just looking for lifestyle tweaks. I sit down and do hour sessions with people. We talk through what's your daily routine so that I can listen to how they're eating, how they're exercising, what's their sleep cycle, what's their schedule throughout their day so that we can figure out, okay, what changes can we make that are not so difficult that you can't make them, they're attainable and they fit into your day. So let's just say your hips are hurting. You know, I've got all this just kind of joint pain. Well, if you're sitting in your chair all day long, that's not going to help any of your joints, right? So how can we get more movement in your day? Can we get a standing desk? You know, and just looking at all the different, now obviously a standing desk is expensive, so it's not like that's the only option, but I'm just saying, like, you just look for all these different ways that we can add movement into your day to help those joints. Are you taking turmeric? Are you on collagen? It's not all about supplements, but sometimes those can help. So you just really figure out what are people willing to do, what can we fit into their life, and then see how that makes them feel. And then the next time we come around into our next session, we talk about that and we work on either something else. We talk about barriers that were keeping them from being able to do the things that they were wanting to do to feel better. And the big thing for me is to make sure that we are working on goals from an aspect of how it's going to make you feel, not how I look in the mirror, not how my pants fit.
Self-degradation. I was going to say, I think that's a really important point to make, because I think so many women, myself included, are like, I want to get down to this weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to look like this. And it's like, lady, that ship has sailed. You know what I mean?
And it's not the most important biomarker.
It's not the most important biomarker. Like, you exactly. need to be talking about being strong, feeling mentally clear, yes. yeah. feeling good in your body, having energy. Like, if cancer shows us anything, it's like, those are the things that we need to value. And yeah. so when women just directly attribute it to, like, looks or weight, that's, you know, weight is important. And we're going to talk about that on another episode. But it's like, I just feel like it's such a miss. You know, there's so many more other yep. important indicators. Mm-hmm. We got to let go of this idea that we're going to look like we did in our 20s or before, just because, you know, there's some influencer that's, you know, managed to make herself look that way. It's just yeah. not realistic.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't on the cover of Vogue in my 20s, I certainly am not going to be on there in my 50s.
There you go. I know. I remember, like, somebody just said to me once when I was complaining about it, because I've held on to about 10 pounds, like, since I've gone through treatment. These pesky 10 pounds. Mm. And some people, depending on who you are, you're like, 10 pounds, like, so what? You know, I got to lose 30 or 40. But it's like, you know, somebody just said to me, Beth, just shut up and age gracefully. And yeah. I thought, You know, there's some truth to that. It's like, just freaking embrace who you are at this moment and all the wisdom that you have and be the healthiest version of yourself and then shut up about it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely, right? That's great.
I want to finish up here, but before we do that, let's listen to our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right, we are back. Jen, can you let our listeners know sort of how they can find you?
Sure. So on Instagram, it's at Clarity Wellness. And then on my website is claritywellnesscoach.com. I have a free discovery call on my website and on Instagram. And you can just book that right there on the website. And it's a free call for us to chat and see, you know, whether I'm the right fit for you, whether coaching is what you're looking for, and just see what's going on. I also have a YouTube channel called Nurse Coach Duo, where I have another nurse coach that I work with, and we do just different interviews with experts on different ways of managing menopause, the issues that come up. And we just had one on how to, you know, friendship and how your relationships change. I mean, there's so much to it. We had one on hypnosis for hot flashes. And so we're just trying to get other people all the different information of how you can manage these different symptoms and understand what's going on in your body as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.